This episode of Stars and Characters brought to you by Stylin' Online T-Shirts and Accessories. Stylin' Online offers hundreds of Star Wars T-Shirts, vintage reproductions, humorous shirts, classic logo and character shirts, and much, much more. Stylin' Online also offers a huge variety of shirts and accessories from TV, movies, sci-fi, horror, anime, cartoons, Disney, gaming, and music. To check out Stylin' Online's huge collection of Star Wars T-Shirts and more, visit our website at www.swic.neozaz.com and click on the Stylin' Online link on the front page.
Hi, everybody. I'm Mark Dodson, the voice of Salacious Crumb, and you're listening to Star Wars in Character.
This is Star Wars in Character, the podcast that takes a closer look at some of the characters in the Star Wars universe you probably never noticed. Backstories, histories, and details you never knew, wanted to know, or ever need to know. Now here are this week's panelists of Star Wars in Character.
Today we are talking about Salacious B. Crumb.
B?
I want to know what the B stands for.
I thought it was D.
It's all B.
I didn't put down anything for his middle name.
Alrighty.
Off to a
Oh, maybe I'm thinking Salacious D. No, I've seen Salacious D. Crumb. Well, I see B. Oh, this is controversial. I see both.
Oh,
I don't know which one. I don't know. We'll see. We'll get to it, I guess.
Hopefully, no one's gonna have an answer. I guess now.
It's like Harry S. Truman. It just stands for nothing.
Yeah. I see B on Wikipedia, but I see D on someone else's site. So I don't know that second source is correct.
Well, Salacious Crumb, the drop the B, appears in Return of the Jedi. Ready for this episode and special episode? These are names that a fan of ours named Brett gave.
Okay.
He did a great job. These are probably some of the best names that are ever.
They're already better than yours, and I haven't heard them yet.
Check out the big brain on Brett.
Totally agree. And for Salacious Crumb episode, my name is Salay Chris Crumb.
Ah, nice.
Topical.
Beautiful. Matt, this is your best name ever.
Okay.
I'm joined by Jedi Master.
That's pretty good. Ooh, that's going to be a tough one between that and Madat. Those are both really good.
All right.
Excellent.
And since the holidays just passed, to my right is Life Dave. He's looking lumpy. And the Jedi Temple. These names are fantastic.
Yeah,
that sounds like a skin issue.
That was the first thing I thought. I was like,
I kept thinking pimple all the time. I'm reading it.
I had a big ass Jedi temple on my cheek.
Jedi temple.
Yes.
Give us some facts, please, about Salacious Bartholomew Crumb.
Now, it says on Wikipedia. I'm looking at it right now. Salacious B. Crumb. Although I do not know what the B stands for.
Bort.
Is it on there? I don't see it at all.
I have it just on the notes, and that's all. I don't know where.
Yeah, I don't know what that B stands for. So if anybody's listening and knows what the B is for, please let us know, because we are my research is incomplete, apparently.
Again.
Yeah, I was gonna say no one's shocked by that statement. And I'm just like, another episode.
Yeah. Salacious Crumb, he is a Kowakian monkey lizard from the planet Kowak, which is an outer rim planet. Now, this species is known for it. It's sort of described as being a comical and at the same time cruel species. And they're also considered to be sentient, which means they're self-aware. They have the ability to think. But in most cases, they're used as they're like pets. It's like the family dog.
But they're known for being cool.
They're just kind of like jokesters, but at the same time they're not opposed to being kind of like, you know, sadistic. They're like sadists. They'll stick you with a knife just to watch you scream, I think.
And they'll laugh at you afterwards.
Exactly.
So it's only the only kind of pet that someone like Jabba the Hutt or like the Adams family would have.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So what was the dragon that had under the stair?
That was the Munsters.
Yeah. And
you get the Munsters and the Adams family mixed up.
I'm not the only one on the planet that gets them mixed up. The Kowaki Munculids, despite being sentient, the ability to think, and they're, you know, I don't know how well thought out they are when they, you know, in terms of critical thought, but they have no real role in mainstream society. As I said before, they're usually seen as pets or just kind of pests that sort of surround fringe elements of society, like crime lords and pirates. And, you know, we see Salacious Crumb, and he's the main one that we all know, and we see him with crime lord Jabba the Hutt. But we also see him – he shows up in the Clone Wars in a few spots, mainly around pirates. There's a few that show up. There's a character called Hondo Anaka, who is a weak-way pirate that we see on the Clone Wars, and he has a few Kowaki and monkey lizards. Now, the Kowaki monkey lizards also – they don't normally leave their planet of Kowak very often, at least not on their own accord, so they're usually – accidentally brought along, or they're brought there and picked up as a pet.
Are these like wild animals that are just like swinging through the jungle that people catch and take with them? Like, is that the deal? Like, it almost seems like you said, like, he's with pirates. It's almost like that annoying monkey that's in Pirates of the Caribbean. Like, there's always like an annoying sidekick pet for people who are, you know, not on the up and up, like pirates and gangsters. Was he like... And it seems like Jabba has like a taste for kind of things that, you know, take a little doing to get, like the Tauntaun head on the wall. Is this kind of like that? Like, this is something rare that someone had to go find and bring to him?
Well, in Salacious Crumb's story, that's not really the case.
I read that he was almost like he had like a hand buzzer on his hands, would shake hands as a prankster. He like had like the whoopee cushions, put them under people's seats as a prankster. But he was going to eat Jabba's food. Jabba got pissed. The monkey ran away and spilled it on Bib Fortuna. Jabba laughed and kept him as a pet because he made him laugh.
Seriously. That's the story?
That's the story.
Wow.
That's kind of the story. Serious or not.
No. And then... it was part of the deal, something about that he had to make Jabba laugh once a day, and he would live.
Seriously?
If he didn't make him laugh, he would eat him.
Oh, that part I believe, actually.
But how the hell would Jabba catch him?
Well, he has one of his minions do
it. All right.
Surely not a Gamorrean guard. They couldn't catch him.
Exactly.
Maybe it was a man-a-man. He rolled up into a ball. Well, that's I like that. That's awesome. Was that in a book or something?
It's right on Wikipedia.
But where did it come from? Did it come from them, or like was it in a backstory? Because I really like that. I like the idea of not only he's not just a pet. He has a duty to fulfill, and if he doesn't do it, he's gonna be eaten.
But the whole time we didn't even see him make Jabba laugh. When right?
That's a good point.
Crumb. He. Chris sort of gave the quick story for him, but Crumb started out
as kind of a
well. I'm just going to fill in a few of the blanks.
Oh, okay.
Crumb. He started out. He found his way. He was kind of like a rat. He was a pest. He found his way onto a ship that eventually went up to a space station, and he was sort of living on this space station as a pest, like hiding in corners and in walls and things. And he eventually stowed away on a ship. You know, he wasn't really thinking getting on the ship is going to get him off. He was just sort of on the ship. That was one of Jabba's ships. So that's how he got to Jabba's palace. They came down to Jabba's palace. He got out of the ship, and then he became a pest in Jabba's court. And as Chris said, Jabba caught him trying to eat his food. So, he runs away. Jabba wants to try to eat him. Tries to eat him. That was his initial punishment, but he made him laugh because he spilled stuff on the other guys. And as Chris said, his job is he had to amuse Jabba once a day, or he was going to die. Once a day, he had to amuse him.
So he's more like a court jester than a pet.
Yes,
yeah.
That's his actual official position. He is like a court jester. And if you look at him, he's got a little bit of a jester look. You know, like jesters have those.
Yeah.
things around their necks, you know, the
and the hat has those like big ear bells hanging off of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the Harley Quinn hat, like it goes from side to side, like that kind of thing.
So he does look kind of like what we stereotypically think of a court jester to look like.
Well, that's cool. And I love how Bib Fortuna is just like the foil of this. Like he is just such a bitch.
He's a stooge. You know what I mean? Like people carry a ladder and they turn and they hit Bib Fortuna in the head. You know what I mean? Yeah, beep, 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 beep. Bib Fortuna shuffle.
But Crumb was basically the bane of everyone's existence that lived in Jabba's court, because he was constantly playing jokes on him to amuse Jabba. So he'd go up to someone and, you know, light a match and put it under, you know, F-Font Man's ass just to burn his ass to watch F-Font Man. Oh, and then he'd run away. Yeah. And then he'd come up and hide on Jabba.
Yeah. Then he would take a nap, watch his tail move.
This is fantastic.
Yeah. He's a funny creature, I think. You know, he's really interesting.
Yeah.
I would love to see a fan film on just like what a pain in the ass he is. Just like he like shits in the middle of the floor and somebody falls on it. Salacious.
It's always Bib Fortuna.
Yeah.
he's like Mr. Roper or something. He's always getting, you know, what's going on here? Mr. Roper, man.
But yeah, we see him being a pest throughout his time in Return of the Jedi. During the sail barge, he's chewing out C-3PO's eye, you know, and then it's a pretty funny scene, especially for me when I first saw it when I was 7. I think I thought that scene was the funniest thing, where he's chewing out C-3PO's eye and R2 comes up and shocks him and he zips up to the ceiling and just sort of basically says a little like, you know, fuck you to R2-D2 down there, and then zips away.
Yeah, that's like the only time you ever see, like, he's described as a monkey lizard, so you think he's pretty agile. That's the only time you ever see him do anything.
Right.
Let's say back in those days, it was probably, you know, just reversed film footage. They just actually dropped him from the ceiling and just played it backwards.
It looks.
That was the first question when we first started talking about Salacious Crumb a while back. That was the first thing that I wanted to ask you guys, and Tim kind of said it. Like, he claws his eye out, and he gets shocked, and he goes up there, and he looks down, and he definitely says something to R2. What is he saying?
We might have an answer to that question.
Oh.
So I'm going to say.
Okay. Well, I'm waiting for this, because Tim's right. That is funny, especially when you're little. But as I watch it older, you know he's, like, cursing him out. Like, I want to know what he's saying, and I hope that we do get an answer.
Yeah.
So, Tim, he actually dies when the sail barge blows up, right?
Yes, he was. I'm 99.99% sure that he was on that sail barge.
Well, he was. When it blew up. Where he was chewing C-3PO's eye.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's always someone that can write a story, because he was tiny. He can jump out a window. So there's always someone out there that can write a story. Okay, yeah. So, yeah, in all probability, he was killed.
I have a simple question. That's an honest question here. It says he died in 4 ABY. It's like Star Wars years.
After the 4 years after Battle of Yavin.
Thank you. All right. That was I never knew what ABY stood for.
How do you not know that?
Considering
your 99.9% of your life revolves around this set of movies.
I never looked.
And you know nothing about them. That just astounds me every time we talk about this.
Nothing about the years. That's all. That's ABY. I don't know what this is about Yentl. I had no idea.
About Yentl.
I really didn't.
I like the way that whoever came up with this series or system of time.
Is there other years?
Yeah, they do it with other, you know, other things that happen in the saga. They'll base events based on those things, but that's the biggest one.
Yeah,
it's like almost that. Like AD and BC.
Yeah. I didn't know what it stood for. Now I know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Now, as I mentioned earlier, we do see a few other Kowaki monkey lizards, but in the expanded universe, there was a monkey lizard that was actually a dark Jedi.
Oh God.
Yeah, his name was Picaroon C. Boodle. And he shows up with his brother Gork in the video game Jedi Knights Dark Forces 2, but he was a force sensitive dark Jedi monkey lizard.
I've played that game. I can't picture the character, but that was
Remember it.
That's a real old PC game, and it may be hard to recognize that's what it was supposed to have been.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a picture of it.
I don't remember if I played that one or not. I don't remember if I played that.
Okay, I can kind of see this a still shot of it. Sure, that could be him, but you know, with the like the graphics the way they were then, I probably didn't recognize that's what it was supposed to be. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll buy that's what he was supposed to be. I don't buy that one of these things could be a dark Jedi.
When I was little, I thought that because there's one shot. He's only in the movie for about 25 seconds. I mean, he's in it several times, but they're very short clips. So if you add them all up, it's about 25 seconds. Mm-hmm. There's one shot of him. And when I was little, I thought that he was embedded in Jabba the Hutt.
Part of him?
Yeah. Can you picture? I mean, I'll put the clip up. There's a cool clip on YouTube that has every frame that he's in. There's one where he's sitting kind of like in Jabba's tail, in the area of Jabba's tail and belly. Mm-hmm. And it looks like and I guess it's just the way they handled the puppetry in that scene. You can't see him from the waist down, and all you see is like Jabba, and then he's coming out of Jabba.
Like a chest burster or something?
When I was little, I thought that he would like embed himself in Jabba and come out until that's, you know, like that scene where he jumps up to the ceiling. That's like the only time you really see his leg.
I'm free!
Yeah, I was like, and even watching it again, I'm like, that's my gut reaction when I watch it. Like he can like bury himself inside Jabba.
So he's kind of like Quato from Total Recall.
Oh man.
Aren't you gonna do your Total Recall?
Get your ass to Mars. Get your ass to Tatooine.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's with you guys and your imagination and Jabba scene? Chris thinks Ula turns into a frog. Dave thinks Salacious Crumb is crawling out of Jabba. Tim, you got something weird you need to share while we're talking about it?
I don't know. There's a scene where I think it may be the same one that Dave saw, but it looks like he's like leaning up against Jabba, and Jabba looks like the softest pillow that you would want to sleep on. he just seems very, very soft. I'd like to sleep on a Jabba pillow.
Oh,
that's probably the same scene. He looks like, I swear, it looks like he's in there.
Yeah. Yeah. He leans back, and it just seems like he's like made. Just like the softest thing you can think of.
Right.
Well, when Leia falls back on Jabba, it's like, it looks like a big cushion. Like,
like a beanbag. Yeah.
I almost hear like a boom when she jumps and she bounces off of him.
Yeah.
Well, I looked up. I always thought it was weird because even when I was little, I didn't know the definition of the word salacious, but I knew that it was an English word. And that doesn't happen too often in Star Wars. I usually go off the charts with these names, but this is an English
Sleaze Bagano.
Yeah. Yeah. So I looked up the definition of salacious, and I didn't know that it meant exactly this, but it's really like a sexual word.
Oh,
on
treating sexual matters in an indecent way, lustful, lecherous. Listen to this: arousing or appealing to sexual desire or imagination.
Oh my God.
So, is he like, what the hell's going on?
That might explain why he stares at Jabba's tail real close and slowly.
Is his name Salacious Bada Bing Crumb, maybe?
Salacious Boner Crumb. What was that?
He doesn't do anything.
There you go.
He doesn't do anything sexual except for what Chris is talking about.
And the tail.
And so that's the first thing I thought of when I saw this definition. He's looking at that tail, and I don't know what he's thinking.
We might have an answer for that.
Oh,
you know, now see, that's never, and I know what Chris is referring to, and I see what you're saying, Dave, but I don't know. Maybe it's being raised with having cats as pets all my life. But I every one of my cats has always been mesmerized, even by their own tails, the same way he is. So I just thought that as a natural instinctual, he's looking at something that's moving and he's getting almost naturally hypnotized. I've never thought, and this is you're saying almost exactly something Chris said, and that we're going to hear here in a little while, but and that Matt, never occurred to me.
And Matt's the answer that I think is the maybe correct answer.
All right, because he almost looks like he's getting turned on. Like he's got a half naked, smoking hot woman sitting next to him, and he's looking at that tail.
Well, what? Yeah, well, stare at her. Don't stare at the tail.
Seriously. Well, something going on there.
Even I still don't see that, but all right. Yeah.
And I know I've seen online drawings of Salacious Crumb doing stuff to Princess.
Website, please.
Yeah. I remember when I was a kid, this is back in the days of the CB radio, but we had a CB radio in our car, and my handle was Salacious Crumb.
Which try using that handle online now and see where it gets you if you go to the wrong sites.
Yeah. No, I do remember like having to explain it. I was like, you know, eight. You know, and I'd be like, "What's your?" You know, you'd be talking with truckers on the CB, and they'd be like, "What's your handle?" I was like, "Salacious Crumb." And I'm an 8 year old. I'm trying to explain it to these truckers as you're going down the road. They couldn't. I would say 99% of them had no idea what I was talking about.
This all sounds very dirty.
Yeah, I was gonna say, yeah. That's
an 8 year old talking.
Yeah, imagine this is a chat room. Tim's 8 years old. He wanders into the wrong chat room. His name starts with Salacious, and all these middle aged, lonely guys just gravitate towards him, asking what his name means.
Chris Hansen comes walking in.
Yeah, exactly.
What's going on here?
Saves me. Come with me, Salacious.
Oh.
Well, I always thought, and I was thinking of Matt when I was watching this, that I'm not clear on what influence Jim Henson had on Star Wars. I know it's pretty vast, but he to me is always one of the most Muppet like creatures in all of Star Wars. Even the way they kind of make him move, he kind of bounds around like Gonzo, and he always kind of reminded me of that. And then especially after the Dark Crystal came out, he looks like something that's in right out of the Dark Crystal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's some things, That sort of relate to that. And that's all I have on Salacious Crumb, the character. But there's some behind-the-scenes information. Now, the puppeteer who actually performed him was Tim Rose, who worked a lot with Jim Henson. He actually worked on The Dark Crystal. He played the treasurer. He was a puppeteer with Howard the Duck and Return to Oz. But he also did Admiral Ackbar. So he worked heavily with the Muppeteers. So I guess he sort of just had that training, and I guess that's why it looks that way, because that's just how they did it in during that time period, I would think.
That makes perfect sense to me, because I saw the name Tim Rose, and I only know that he was Admiral Ackbar. So Tim Rose was a Jim Henson, you know, disciple, if you want to call him that.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And there's some, you can see some videos on YouTube. With him, there's not a whole lot out there with him doing Salacious Crumb. I know that there was a making of Return of the Jedi where Tim Rose was there, and he actually gave a voice to Salacious Crumb on that thing. I haven't been able to find that. I didn't look too hard on YouTube, but I'm sure it's on there. The thing that I found for him was him actually working the Admiral Ackbar puppet, which is kind of neat to see. I'd never seen that before. So there's not that this is an Admiral Ackbar episode, but just to see Tim Rose in action as a puppeteer, there are some things on YouTube that you can see. And the voice was not done by Tim Rose in the final product, but it was done by a voice actor by the name of Mark Dodson, who Chris had the opportunity to talk to a few weeks back at a Pittsburgh comic convention.
I did.
Why don't you tell us about that, Chris?
I drove 4 hours to Pittsburgh to meet probably one of the nicest guys involved in any kind of Star Wars movies.
Excellent.
Yep. He's one of the more honestly one of the more obscure actors in the Star Wars universe. So it is kind of interesting that we were able to go talk to him, because I had never heard of him prior to him being announced for this convention. So I'm actually kind of excited to hear what he has to say.
Yeah, at this point, Matt and Chris are the only ones that have heard this. Yep. Tim and I have not. I am dying to hear this, because what a nice guy he was, just through corresponding through email, and super generous with his time, and even willing to like spend some of his free time, like not during the convention with Chris, if it was going to work out. I mean,
right.
Just based on the correspondence we had, I wish I would have been able to go with Chris to get to meet him. And I'm dying to hear this. I really want to hear it bad.
He was, and I want to apologize if I sound nervous, cause I was.
No, well,
it was just me being stared at by everyone else watching me sit down behind this guy's table.
All right. Well, okay. Why don't we play that, and then we'll discuss a little more after that. So here's Chris's interview.
Hello there. This is Chris from this is Chris from Star Wars in Character, and I'm at the Steel City Con just outside of Pittsburgh with Salacious Crumb himself, Mr. Mark Dodson. Mark, thank you for sitting down with us today.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
I appreciate it.
This is the coolest guy I ever met. He's so nice. He's so polite. He's good looking. Wow. I mean everything. He's fantastic.
So what are we gonna talk about?
He's holding my leg now. We got some fans. Whenever fans come, stop with me and go with them. Seriously. All right. Here, I gotta go back and forth. All right. Here we go. You were a teenager when A New Hope came out. What were your impressions of Star Wars as a young man?
Well, I saw it when it came out, the year it came out. I was like, 16, 17 years old, and I loved it. It blew me away. It was so different from anything that we'd ever seen. And I wasn't a big sci-fi fan until Star Wars. That got me a lot more into science fiction. One thing, I was always into Westerns and that kind of stuff. So I kind of saw it as almost a Western in outer space with the good guy, the bad guy, and the black and the white and the black hat with the bad guy and Darth Vader. I thought it was great, you know. I sure never thought I'd be a part of it.
That's a dream come true, I guess, for you.
Yeah. I mean, it was unbelievable that I ended up being a part of.
Don't they know what I'm doing, an interview? Don't they know that I'm here?
No, they should. Somebody needs to tell them, stop. That's okay, though.
All right.
I can hear you definitely at a...
Yes, we're here live. Recorded live. You and Harrison Ford have something in common, in that you were both carpenters working for Lucas.
Right. That's right.
How did that come about for you?
Yeah, what happened was I was in Los Angeles with Lucasfilm for just a little while, and then George wanted to move everybody up to Marin County, where they were building Skywalker Ranch, and I wanted to be a part of it. They didn't have any production work. They already had all that filled. ILM was going on. Sprockets was doing the sound. So I had friends, and I said, I'll do anything. And they said, well, they're looking for laborers to build the ranch, and maybe then something could open up in production, while you're there. So I went to Marin County, started out a laborer, actually worked on over in San Rafael, building Sprockets, which was the name of the sound company in the early 80s. It was right next to ILM in San Rafael. And then labored on that building. And then when that building was done, they made me a carpenter, put me in the Carpenters Union, and put me out at the ranch to help build the ranch. And Ben Burtt was always, with all the creatures, there were so many, he was always looking for different voices, somebody to do voices for creatures. And I let him know that I could. And actually, the first thing I auditioned for, Ben brought me in, ended up being the voice of E.T., which I didn't get. But it was the first audition I ever had. And basically, I went in his studio, and he just said to me, say be good. Say Elliot. Now yell Elliot. And do it in different voices. And I knew it was, his description was that it was an alien, not male or female. And he was just trying to see what we could come up with. So I didn't get that part. But the cool thing was, when we went to the screening of E.T., and I couldn't remember exactly what I'd said, but when E.T. screams Elliot, that's when I went, oh my God, that's what I auditioned for. Because, they're very secretive. You didn't know half the time what you were really even working on. Yeah, if you did, right, you would disappear. So, that's right. And then Salacious Crumb came when he was looking for more, and I said, well, even though I didn't get E.T., of course, call me back, and he said he would, and he did, and I went in to try out for Admiral Ackbar. I was really nervous. Admiral Ackbar had big words to say, and I was really nervous, and I told Ben, I'm too nervous to try this right now. Let me just shake off these nerves. And he said, okay, go ahead. So kind of walked away from the mic and started screaming and cackling to get rid of my nerves. I was and doing all this kind of thing. And And then I walked back and said, okay, let me try for Admiral Akbar. And he said, no, what you just did, I think I have a creature that I could use that for. Let's do some more of that. So I ended up being Salacious Crumb.
That is awesome. You have some fans. I don't want to hold you. Go take care of your fans. I will. If we're here, we're here. He has some fans. Do you want to go ahead? He's all yours. Go ahead. We're just. He has some fans, so we will just wait till he's ready. I don't want to hold up his time. We were.
Yeah, you can keep doing.
Yeah, I'll still tape. You guys do your thing. Sing. What song?
Hank Williams Jr. Family Tradition.
I do not know that one. What kind of direction were you given? And was there a request for something specific? Or were you given the opportunity to be creative?
The way it went was that, you know, after what I had mentioned about doing the laughing and cackling and just trying to loosen up. And then Ben, as I can remember, Ben pretty much said, okay, do some more laughs. I did a lot of different laughs and cackles. And he said, okay. Now, you are part rat, part bird, part monkey. You're a little creature, and you just went into a giant's castle, and you're sneaking around the giant's castle, and you don't want him to see you sneaking around. Go ahead and make some sounds.
So you actually remember that was your, wait?
Well, yeah. That was a big thing, you know. And so I made some sounds. And then he said, okay, now the giant sees you. Or no, actually he said, you're going to steal some food from the giant. So give me some, what that would sound like. So I did some, you know, and sneaking. And then he said, now the giant sees you and you're scared. So I did that. And I did the scream and several screams. And he said, now he's chasing you. And so I kind of did some running in place. And like I was running, you know, running from him. Just ad-libbing, you know. And he said, now he's caught you. And, you know, so I did what we call emotes, which is just guttural cries of being grabbed by a giant. And that was pretty much it. And then probably, as I recall, I did a bunch more just what they call wild lines, just screaming and just saying crazy, you know, gibberish. And that was pretty much, that was the direction.
That's
probably, I'm going to say it was, I would say there's probably 15 minutes of cackles and screams and guttural sounds. And then Ben worked his magic with.
And you actually had no idea what your character even looked like yet?
No. All right. Other than what he told me as far as that I was a cross between, you know, you're kind of a rat, kind of a bird, kind of a monkey. Yeah.
That's an awesome answer. Love it. Do you think your performance influenced puppeteer Tim Rose's execution of the character?
No.
Short and sweet.
No, because they had already shot the scenes with Salacious. Tim had already done the puppeteering. That was all done. In fact, the voice of Salacious was done at the very, I think there was maybe just a couple weeks to go on getting Return of the Jedi finished. There was just a couple weeks. And so I had no effect on Tim's. No. Tim's a great puppeteer. And I know Salacious was one of his favorite puppeteer.
Right.
Yeah, but no.
Well, I know for a fact that this next question you never heard, and you will probably never hear it again. Okay. All right. This is a really awesome question, though. All right. We were wondering for our podcast, and want to hear your take on it. After Salacious Crumb has ripped 3PO's eyes out of his socket, yeah. R2 comes over and zaps him. Okay. Salacious Crumb looks down at them and says something, and it almost appears like he's cursing at them. What do you think he's saying?
Well, it would depend on what part of the when Ben was directing me, but I believe that was where he was telling me that that the giant has caught me stealing some of his food. And so I think pretty much what I was just saying was to let me go. And I would, but I was screaming, you know, in, so I was like, you know, is that kind of okay? So what I was thinking when I was saying it was, you know, let me go, I'm scared, that kind of thing.
I was hoping for some kind of like Star Wars curse word.
Let me go, you bastard.
I will take that. Okay. I will take that. Your Star Wars career didn't end with Jedi. You did some work in Ewoks, Battle for Endor. How much different is doing an Ewok compared to a Kowakian monkey lizard?
Yeah, well, an Ewok, of course, I did that to picture. And that was, so in that respect, it was a lot different. I knew the character that I was doing. I could see the character. And it's the difference in a teddy bear, basically, a little bit of a bear's voice. You know, you know, it's, and just that little growl in the voice. And it's a more relaxed character. It's a bear. It's a huggable, you know, but it's a little bear. Well, when I do Salacious or the Gremlins or any of that, it's very maniacal, you know. It,
right, right.
And you feel a little bit crazy doing it. I mean, you know.
No, don't feel crazy.
Well, you do. I mean, you know, like you're kind of going nuts, you know, when you do those guys. Whereas the bears are just kind of laid back little. Although I did do Teak, which is the little white one that.
Yes.
Around, so that was another one that was pretty crazy.
That was cool. Now, how about a Mogwai?
Well, I did the evil Mogwai.
I want to hear it.
Oh, wow.
Please.
Okay. Well, the evil ones were just higher pitched of gremlins. So the sound man, Mark Mangini, he would pitch what I would do. So, and then some of those would get pitched a little bit and sped up a little bit. You know, all the Daffy stuff.
Right, right.
Balls. And remember, that was been that was 1990.
Yeah, I know. That's a way back. Is there? Do you know anything about Gremlins 3 in the works?
No, I hear talk about it all the time.
That would be awesome.
They talk about it all the time, but they never do. It never happens. Joe Dante says he won't do it because they would want to do CGI, and he's the director, and he doesn't want to do CGI. He feels that
true
that the Muppet style creatures are a big part of what made it work, and I agree.
I totally agree.
I could see him doing parts of it CGI, but I think they would need to keep the Muppet type of creatures as well.
That's what sometimes that we miss from the new Star Wars movies. You miss the Muppets, the puppets, rather than CGI. You miss the old-fashioned stuff.
Well, I do, but I'm old-fashioned. I miss everything old-fashioned.
We actually love their laugh, and the movie theater scene in one part, sing to the Seven Dwarfs. Why is everything so funny to the Gremlins, and for that matter, Salacious Crumb, too? Is that your personality coming through?
It is. It really is. I mean, it's that simple. Why the laugh became, you know, I don't know.
Honest answer.
I hate to say, I don't really have an answer.
Well, from sitting here next to you, you seem like you're just jolly, happy, good looking. You just like to have fun.
At home, I do. I like you. Kind of hit. I like to have fun. Yeah.
All right. Well, it shows. Really it shows.
Probably what it comes from.
You did a hell of a job then. You know. All right. Ready now. I asked. Oh, here you go. You've done so many things in your career, from zombies and Day of the Dead to your radio work. Two, I just found this out, my new personal favorite was that Singing Butts Unplugged.
That's
hysterical. What's the one out there that got away, if any?
Oh, that I didn't, the part I didn't get?
Yes.
Oh, my God. That's a much longer list of the stuff I got. You know, some that I tried out for Muppet Babies. And
I love the Muppet Babies.
I really wanted a part on that. I didn't get a part on it. Now you're going to make me tell you all the things that I didn't get. you know, like I say, the list of what you don't. When you're a actor or a voice actor, we audition all the time.
Right, right.
And we don't get everything. So that's a big one that got away. I would like to be called for Clone Wars, which I have.
Okay.
Star Wars, you know, which is Luke.
Well, we were hoping for one day down the road to see an episode involving Salacious Crumb. Something.
I'd love to be a part of it, and they have a great cast. Tom Kane, who happens to live in Kansas City, and I live in Missouri. Tom Kane is a great voiceover talent who does a lot of work.
He's good.
Neat guy. But, you know, I guess, yeah. Oh, I'll tell you one.
Go ahead, go ahead.
I tried out for the Joker for the animated
Warner Before Mark Hamill got it, or?
Hamill got. I tried out for that. I didn't get it. So the list of the stuff I didn't get is very long and probably more impressive than what I got.
Not at all. Not at all. Now, I asked you earlier, have you done many of these conventions? And you said, not really. The ones that you have done, is there anything out there that, what was the weirdest thing anyone said to you or did, not to you, but did around you? Is that including this interview?
The one that kind of blew me away was actually, there was one that I did in Illinois a few years ago, and a guy came up in the lobby of the hotel and knew who I was, which, you know.
Wow, okay, right.
And started telling me all of the stuff that I had done over the years and that he has followed my voiceover career. And started naming commercials, promos, all these things.
Impressive, huh?
Wow. You really know, and he really knew. And that kind of blew me away.
That is awesome. You have some new fans. I don't want to hold you up from your fans. Take your time. Our podcast does the obscure characters in the background. What is your, now besides Crumb, what's your favorite obscure character in the background of any of the Star Wars movies?
Oh, wow. Salacious Crumb. Because he's...
All right. Who's your second?
Well... God, it's hard. I love Darth Vader.
Awesome. True, but you can still love him.
I love him. You know, who are some other really obscure from the Max Rebo band?
Okay. There's Cy Snoodles.
I think Cy Snoodles was really cool.
Yes, yes.
She moved up.
Moved to the beat.
Body on. Long, skinny legs and the way. Yeah, I think Cy Snoodles was probably one that I loved. But, you know, I mean... Yeah, I'm a huge fan. I like the dark side of...
Nothing wrong with that.
So...
Nothing wrong with that at all.
So the darker characters in Star Wars, that...
Remember this...
It's so hard to choose.
There's so many of them out there.
The Gamorrean guards were cool.
Yes.
You know, just so many.
I just thought of this right now. Remember the scene where Salacious Crumb is by Jabba and the tail's moving? And it's staring at it in a weird way?
Yeah.
What's going on there?
I'm not sure.
does he like how it's moving, or is it soothing?
I think it is soothing, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
To
you see, does the tail go back and forth? He's like just going, it's almost like putting him to sleep, almost.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. He's just kind of watching it, he may be watching it almost like a snake that might bite you, because you never know when Jabba may just get mad and smack him with it, so maybe you keep an eye on that.
I never thought of that.
You know?
I never thought of that. Do you have anything coming up that you want to promote?
Coming up? Oh, I'm right now on Outdoor Channel. Don't miss Bo Madness. I'm the narrator for Bo Madness. Over the next few weeks, you should start hearing me doing the Tough Pad for Panasonic.
Nice.
Fearless in every way. You'll be hearing that. ESPN. Right now I'm doing a show called Grantland. I'm the announcer for Grantland on ESPN. It was kind of neat. I'm from St. Louis, and of course we just won the World Series, the Cardinals.
Of course.
Well, I just happened to be lucky enough again. This past year I was doing commercials for the Cardinals, so people there would know. I did all the Mobile on the Run. When the Cards score six, drinks are 25 cents, and Mobile on the Run. We're serious. You know, that kind of stuff. So, you know, that would be it. I just did Smash Muck Champions, which is an online video game. And I'm Admiral Scuttlemuck, which is a...
That's a nice name.
Yeah, Muck, yeah. Yeah, he talks like a pirate, you know. And, you can see... He would obviously talk like that, but
yes, he would.
But and I do Plan Con, which is an old kind of like you remember the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
He talks like this. My name is Plan Con, and you know, watch it, you young whippersnapper. What's cool is he's an old robot. So, you know what I'm saying? He's like,
right, yeah.
Man, robot.
Right, right.
He's creaky, and when he laughs, he... kind of remember Muttley?
Yes, yeah.
So, that's cool. So, that would be the biggest things coming out right now.
You know. Finally, what does it mean to you to have been involved in Star Wars?
Well, it's meant... everything to my career and to, you know, as a voiceover person, we aren't usually known. So it's given me some little bit of notoriety. You know, believe me, being able to say that you worked on a Lucasfilm, on a Star Wars movie, it gets people's attention when you're up for a new part. But for me, just the memories of that and to be a part of this, it's really amazing to me. It's humbling. It's surreal. It's something that is so big that everybody knows all over the world, Star Wars, and to have been a part of it, it's overwhelming.
It is.
You just can't describe it.
It was
overwhelming and... I'm very proud to have been a part.
You do a fine job. You're the nicest guy I've spoken to. You're polite. You're kind. You're fantastic. And that's for me. That's from a fan, which I'm gonna get my poster signed. Soon I'm done this. I got two posters.
Okay.
I need them signed because I need them on there. All right.
Twice as much.
Sold.
Because I don't want you thinking I'm nice. Remember, I'm evil.
True. We'd love to see you do, you know, we talked about earlier, a storyline on the Clone Wars, hopefully one day down the road.
Yeah, well, I hope so.
I'll call Lucas.
Something about that.
I'll call him right now.
Good. Call him. Okay.
You have helped create an amazing and memorable character, something that we all love. I want to thank you for that, and thanks so much for spending time with us on Star Wars in Character.
All right. Thank you, Chris. Thank you for taking the time.
You're awesome. Thank
you very much.
Right. You're awesome. Thank you.
That was awesome.
That was awesome.
I hope so. I mean, I hate hearing myself, and I sound like an idiot sometimes. I thought.
No, I thought you did great.
You were great.
It was great. You weren't quite as Chris Farley-esque as I was expecting.
Remember when you were like there with your?
Remember when you're in the Beatles?
That was awesome.
That's awesome.
There was one point when you said, "Remember," I'm like, "Oh God, where's he going with this?"
Yeah, you could do a drinking game with Chris's interviews every time he said awesome.
It was like four or five times, I think, right?
That wasn't bad. I had the best seat in the house because I got to sit here and watch Chris listen to himself. It was fantastic.
Was he getting uncomfortable?
He was just like squirming.
A little bit, yeah. There was times I'm like, oh, I said that, or that was my answer. the guy is pure joy.
Mark Dodson, man. He is the bee's knees because we are nobody. Chris is nobody.
No, you got that right.
He lets you sit at his table. ask him questions while he's trying to make some money. I mean, just what a nice guy. And the answers were fantastic. He's funny, first of all.
He is funny.
Going to charge you twice as much. I mean, that's just funny. Like, he's just like a guy you could just like meet and have that kind of repertoire with. Like, what a nice guy. You can tell how much this means to him because he remembers everything.
Yeah. I liked, but was very surprised about his answer when Chris said, what is he saying? And he instantly recalls what is the most likely scenario he was given in direction. I'm like, wow, that wasn't the answer I was expecting at all.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. You can tell like what it means to him. And,
exactly. And, yeah. Yep.
And you told me good looking twice.
I did it.
Yeah. I noticed that too.
Yeah.
And, first time he had his, after that, he put his hand on my leg. And I didn't push it away.
Funny guy.
He was funny.
That was awesome. You
bastard.
Yeah.
Awesome. He's got a real smooth voice. He can just his general speaking voice. He can do a voice double for Chris Cooper, who's in the new Muppets movie. But he could do a spot on Chris Cooper.
Oh yeah. Okay. I know.
He sounded just like him. I thought that was the first thing I thought. I was like, it sounds like a Chris Cooper interview. It's awesome.
Yeah, he's got a great voiceover voice. I was thinking that too, listening to it the first time around.
Yeah, really good.
I think it's nasally whiny voice.
I think it's interesting. You pointed out that he tried out for the Admiral Ackbar part, which is kind of funny because that was also performed by Tim Rose. As we said earlier, Admiral Ackbar was puppeteered by Tim Rose. So yeah. Neat.
We put it on there and we're serious. Like there, and especially with all the stuff that you guys have, you know, taught me about Salacious Crumb and just this episode. There really needs to be a Salacious Crumb Clone Wars episode.
Mm-hmm.
Guaranteed. There was an episode, Tim, I don't know if you saw, where there was a one of these monkey lizards and something else like sword fighting. It wasn't him.
God. Yeah, it was one of the recent episodes. Yeah. One of the last two or three episodes that aired. Yeah, they had them in like a like a little gladiator match thing going on. And one of those things from season two when you see. I want to say it's the episode where we see little boy Boba Fett in the animated version, and they come to Hondo Inaka's thing, and it's like a cockfight with two Kowakian monkey lizards, and one of them has a little knife, so he's going to stick him with a shiv.
Yeah, I mean, not like it would be hard to do an episode revolving around the character, but something else going on, and he's just there messing stuff up the whole time, poking it, just, you know, like a gremlin.
They should make like a half an hour comedy, just like a real funny, hysterical Clone Wars.
Yeah,
I stop slapstick humor.
See, Mark's got a great voice. He could play like straight characters too. I mean, he's got a real clear. Delivery. So there's a lot of different things. You know, we've talked with a few voice actors on here, like Stephen Stan. Stephen Stan is you know, dyed in the wool. He's real good at that stuff. But I think Mark could probably be up to that level on the Clone Wars. Also, I think he could do it. So Dave Filoni, if you're listening, Kerry Silver, if you're listening, give Mark Dodson a call. Ben Burtt has his number, I'm sure.
Seriously, we'll give you his number. Thanks again to Mark for that. I mean, that's a highlight for me at least because
yeah,
like you
fun.
Said, like he doesn't do a whole mentions.
Yeah,
like,
hey, that's the first time. Remember when I saw his name on the website? All I saw was his name and a photo of Salacious Crumb. I go, up, oh, I'm going. I never knew who that was, and you know, or anything. I said, oh, he's there. I'll be there.
Well, great. Well, we'll post. You know, Mark's. Got a whole like Mark Dodson voice talent webpage where it has a lot of samples of the work he's done and ways to see what he's up to, including the singing butts.
Yeah, singing
butts. That was funny.
The singing butts is hilarious.
Before Chris did the interview, I called him. I said, Chris, have you seen the singing butts?
I said, no. Show him the singing butts.
Yeah, like, check out the singing butts.
So Mark Dodson. Cool guy.
We love you.
Yep.
Matt, do you have a website?
Yeah, well, I figured, apart from the sites Dave described earlier, those probably weren't appropriate to share. the Salacious Crumb and Princess Leia stuff.
Salacious hentai.
Right, yeah. I figured I'd follow up this interview with what Dave was just mentioning, his website. And it is markdodsonvoicetalent.com. And it has his demo reels and the link to some of his other work, including the singing butts we just talked about. So that will be the link in the show notes for this episode.
Singing butts. Can't go wrong with butts.
Yeah, stop listening to this now and just go online and listen to the singing butts, because it's far better than what we're doing.
Yeah. I was gonna say, I'm sure butts and talking were having used to describe us in some conversation somewhere.
Probably.
Or maybe asses. I forget. I don't know.
Well, guess what time it is, Dave?
It's time for you to catch Tim.
I'm trying.
And some trivia.
Yay, trivia. Yeah. I changed it up a little bit this time.
I see that. Yes.
Let's go through the scores here. Tim is in the lead with 14.
Bam.
Followed by Chris with 10.
Yeah.
Then Matt with 9.
Nah.
And I have 4.
So, womp womp.
So here we go. Chris, are you ready?
Yes.
Your question is coming from the Phantom Menace era.
Oh, boy.
Which of Queen Amidala's handmaidens was chosen to act as her decoy?
Easy.
Yeah, I have two of them in my head. I have Dorme. I'm probably saying them wrong with an accent. And a Sabe, S-A-B-E. They're probably both wrong. I'm thinking. I smell my brain thinking.
Well, I'll tell you this. I'm not going to give you any more information other than to say that one of the two names that you mentioned is among the multiple choice.
All right.
If you guess it without it, you'll get 2 points. If not, you can get the 1 point, or you could totally blow this.
I think I'm going to blow this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say shit. I'm going to say...
That is incorrect.
I want to say, I know whatever I say is going to be the other answer. Ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Dorme.
You're going with Dorme?
No, I'm going with Sabe.
What is your answer?
Which one is it, boy?
Sabe. S-A-B-E.
You're going with Sabe,
yeah.
And forgoing the multiple choice?
Yes.
Okay, can I read you the multiple choice?
Go ahead.
A is Irte.
And no, it's not that one.
B is Yane.
No, it's not that one.
Not to be confused.
Yane.
Yane.
That's really funny.
Live at the Acropolis.
C is Rabe.
No shit. Okay.
Wasn't and that the D, chick from Friday the 13th, the series?
D is Sabe.
Oh, my God.
And that is correct.
Oh, very good.
So you got yourself 2 points.
I did.
Portrayed by Keira Knightley.
Oh, shut up. Stop adding information. All right.
Tim's inspired me for a new career. I really want to get into medicine because he has a condition, and it's this very specific condition. I think it's called Tim Retz. Every time something's mentioned about Star Wars that he knows, he has to spew it out. He has to. He can't stop. It's a condition, I swear.
Oh. Robbie was played by Francis Ford Coppola's daughter.
Yeah, see, there we go.
Sophia.
Another Tim Retz moment.
All right, Tim.
Christine Da Silva played Irte.
So there's other people who are actual handmaidens as well?
Yes, yeah.
Did I say them right?
Who cares?
Yeah. Close enough.
Who cares?
I'm trying to get incidental points somehow.
Don't do that.
All right, Tim.
Yes.
Your question is from the Return of the Jedi era.
Okay, we just talked about that.
Right, here he goes.
Here is the question. What species do the Marauders of Endor use as beasts of burden?
Mick Jagger.
Those are from the Ewoks. Those are from the Ewoks movies, too.
Never.
I am going to need multiple choice.
Okay. Are they A, Ewok ponies?
Well, come on.
B, boar wolves?
Don't do that.
C, Blurgs, or D, Bordocks?
Ooh. Bordocks was played by Keira Knightley.
I want to say Boar Wolves. I'm going to say Boar Wolves.
Boar Wolves are the species that the Marauders of Endor...
Yeah, I seem to remember them having these strange, like, nasty-looking beasts. And I would think it would either be the Boar Wolves or the... whatever the last one was. But I'm going to say Boar Wolves.
Boar Wolves is incorrect.
No! Ah.
The answer is Blurgs.
Oh, I wasn't even... I wasn't anywhere close.
No, you weren't.
That hurts.
Who are the Marauders of Endor?
I think that's the one on Battle of Endor. The Ewok movie.
All right. Matt?
Yes?
Your question is from the Revenge of the Sith era.
Really? Not episode 2?
No.
I am amazed. Well, 2012 is looking up.
Happy New Year. What did Yoda have to say about the prophecy of the Chosen One before he left for Kashyyyk?
Oh, man. Is this a quote?
No, it's not a quote.
Oh.
I mean, it's something that he says, but the answers are not quotes.
All right. I'm not sure enough to even try to guess. So give me the multiple choice, but I got a good feeling I'm going to be able to pick it out.
Okay. Did Yoda say that A, that a recent discovered holocron had disproved it? B, that it was a fable? C, that he believed that Anakin was the Chosen One? Or D, that it may have been misread?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I was getting worried for a second. So D, I'm pretty sure.
That is correct.
All right. Ooh. Finally, you got a point.
Very nice.
Dave, you're next, right?
I am next. Matt, you got 10, and Chris, you have 12. You guys are in striking distance.
Now, what's Tim got now? 17, 20, 39?
14.
Oh, 14? Oh, okay.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
Now, Dave, if you get this one right,
yes,
this episode will be the episode that Tim got it wrong, and we all got it right.
I don't need that kind of pressure, actually.
And this question... should have went to Matt because it's from Attack of the Clones. There we go. Who was Count Dooku's former Padawan?
Okay. I should know this. Who was Count Dooku's former Padawan? I know when the conversation happens. It's after Obi-Wan's been captured and he's kind of hovering there. He looks like he's being given a giant wedgie.
I think that's in the script.
He's just kind of hanging there and they're having this conversation, and I think it comes out in that point. I'm going to say that his former Padawan was Qui-Gon Jinn.
Qui-Gon Jinn.
Yes.
Final answer?
Yes. No multiple choice.
Okay. Qui-Gon Jinn is answer D.
Mm-hmm.
I will push D.
All right.
Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah.
what were the other choices, just out of curiosity?
Lando.
Yeah, because Tim has more information to spew.
No.
Shaak Ti, Coleman, Trebor, Obi-Wan, and Qui-Gon.
So we did all get it right except for Tim.
We kicked... ass.
Tim.
And I think you guys all had prequel ones, and was I the only one that had a original trilogy era?
Yep.
Yeah.
Good job.
Oh, wow. Crazy.
Tim, Tim, be honest. How do you feel?
I'm still in the lead, so I don't feel horrible, but I feel that I probably should have gotten that.
What do you mean should have?
That was hard.
It was hard because it is from the Ewoks movies, which I have not watched in quite a while.
No one's watched those in quite a while.
they're out of print. You can't get those on DVD. You have to go.
It's not a bad thing.
Well, we'd like to thank you for listening to our Star Wars character discussion about Salacious Bartholomew Crumb. Join us next time we discuss Masamita.
Thanks for listening to Star Wars in Character. Star Wars in Character is part of the NeoZaz.com network of podcasts. For more great podcasts and original entertainment, please visit www.neozaz.com. Star Wars in Character is not affiliated with nor endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox. Star Wars and all Star Wars universe characters, places, or Star Wars-related items are the copyright of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. Visit www.swic.neozaz.com for the latest Star Wars in Character episodes and information.